Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week four edition of the IL Preps Podcast. I am Dan Ebron, contributing writer at Inside Lacrosse.
And I'm managing editor Jeff Shannon.
And Jeff, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today because we just saw a Tuesday with so much action and so much intriguing results. We will get to that later in the show. But the big thing that Inside Lacrosse announced this week was the Under Armour All-American selections. We have the Wave 1. We sent that out on Tuesday. Can you tell the audience about those selections?
Yeah, so and the way, if you followed how we've done this last few years, we have four waves of Under Armour All-Americans that go out. 11 kids are announced each time. And our Wave 1 just went out this week. Within that, we got four attackmen, Bubba Fairman, who is right now at Deerfield in Massachusetts, but hails from Utah, one of our top recruits, the number one recruit in the 2017 class. I've done so many classes. You know. Bubba had been in 2016 and then is doing a postgraduate year just to kind of learn the game a little bit more. But he kind of headlines this group. Connor Marin from Morristown, who was a commitment to Notre Dame, another great attackman who we've seen in the summer play. Colin Monroe, the son of former Denver coach Jamin Monroe, and also sort of the key element of the Mountain Vista Colorado lacrosse team. He's headed to North Carolina. And Alex Trippi, a star down at Bullis, Maryland. He was one of the catalysts of their run to the IAC title last year. He's also a North Carolina commitment. In the midfield, Connor DeSimone, someone who we have been following for a long time. He was on our cover of the June issue last year. He's committed to Johns Hopkins. Midfielder, can play attack in midfield, but in the game, we'll see him as a midfielder. Matt Moore, big star out of Garnet Valley, who's committed to Virginia. Ryan O'Connell from New Canaan, Connecticut, who are in our top 25, but they haven't played yet. They'll start playing, I want to say, this week. Another North Carolina commitment. And Lucas Quinn from Niskayuna. It's funny, I talked to Lucas. He's been a star on the team since he was a sophomore. He was a starter with them when they made a 2015 run to the New York State Championship with that team. He's entering his senior year now. He's committed to Syracuse. Defense, Arden Cohen, who's been a big Notre Dame commitment. We've seen him on the summer circuit a lot, including the Isle Community Academy last year, and he is playing at Darien, Connecticut, our number two team in the nation right now, and we'll get into that a little bit. And then Owen Probilski from Westfield, New Jersey, commitment to Villanova. Really love this kid, another guy who kind of shined in our Community Academy over the summertime. And then goalie Alex Rode, St. Paul's, committed to Virginia, arguably one of the more impactful, potentially impactful commits in this class. He's had some good games with St. Paul so far this year. So that's the first wave. Looking forward to making the next wave of announcements later in April, and then we'll see a couple more following that. But great group of kids. We follow these guys for years at this point, and I can't wait to see them all play together.
Yeah, every one of those kids is, I would say, is a no-brainer kind of impact level kind of player at the next level. So we're very excited to get those announcements out, see those guys play early in June. All right, Jeff, let's move on to our latest version of the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse National Top 25. We had a lot of shakeup after a very upset-minded Tuesday yesterday. So can you please delve into some of the changes we experienced?
Yeah, within our Top 25, Hill Academy stays at number one position, 11-0. They had a nice run again through Baltimore. Then they made another pass through Philadelphia, playing some teams like LaSalle and a couple other programs. Undefeated. No one or two teams have challenged them, Boys Latin, IMG, but they've remained undefeated, and it's been crazy. A couple games to a couple movements to look at. Culver moves into the number four spot. They had a nice win against McDonough last week, and they really stomped St. Paul's on Friday with some offensive mismatches. Interesting, some of those games. We can get to that a little bit later, but just how different styles clash when you come to those matchups. Avon Old Farms moves up to 7. Haverford makes a big jump after starting the season on sort of in a rough way. They earn a big win over Culver and then snagged a victory over Boys Latin this past Tuesday. So that moves them from 25 up to 8. LaSalle earned a big upset over regional rival man Malvern Prep on Tuesday, and we'll get into that one a little bit more as well. So they moved to the number 9 spot. Other big movements, we see Torrey Pines fall. They had a overtime loss to San Ramon Valley, one of the better teams in Northern California, on Tuesday. That makes St. Ignatius Prep the number 1 team in the West again. And those are kind of the big movements. We're still waiting for the North to get going a little bit. As I mentioned, New Canaan will start playing this week. Darien just kind of got into their season. Once some of those teams start racking up some games, the ranking starts to even out, and you start seeing some teams in places like Massachusetts and definitely New York start to fight their way into those top 25 rankings. It's always kind of a weird period this time of year where you have one team that plays 11 games and another team that, you know, could be equally as talented play 3 games. You need to wait for the season to play out a little bit, and usually those Northeastern teams start earning their spots as May rolls into June, those type of things.
Yeah, I think a big surprise for me so far this season is that Deerfield and Salisbury School, two teams that we kind of thought would be there in the top 25 down the line. They still might be, but they are a combined 0-3 right now, which is very, very interesting. Let's delve into some of the results from this past week or so. But before we do that, we've got to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. Find deals up to 70% off on heads, shafts, helmets, and more, or snag unique gear from colleges and the pros. Sideline Swap also lets you sell old gear simply and securely. List in seconds, and they'll send you a prepaid shipping label when it sells. Visit sidelineswap.com today to get started. That's sideline, SWAP.com. Jeff, the first game on our docket is Brunswick 11 beating our former number 2 team, Deerfield. Jeff, the first game on our docket is Brunswick defeating our number 2 team, Deerfield, 11-6. Performances from Jimmy Height, he had 5 goals. Xander Dixon, 2 goals, 3 assists, and then a great goalie in Patrick Birkinshaw, he had 12 saves.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to the talent that Brunswick has. They started the season with a loss to Landon. That's a tough game to start your season with. Landon, again, it has moved up to our number 3 spot, 7-0, just talent across the board. I think this game speaks a little bit to those first game jitters. They're over. They're playing a Deerfield team. This is a team that they want to, you know, measure themselves against talent-wise. And Brunswick probably is, you know, they've been together a little bit longer than, say, how Deerfield plays out. Height with 5 goals. Xander Dixon, one of those guys that I really like in the 2018 class, 2 goals, 3 assists, facilitator there. And Patrick Birkinshaw with 12 saves. Really kind of just doing a good job facilitating the offense and then on shutting down some of the new pieces for Deerfield. I expect Deerfield, again, to be better second, third, fourth game, more so than coming out playing a talented team in that first game.
Yes. Next game on our docket is McDonough 10, Bullis 4. That was definitely an interesting result. Jack Parr, a 2017 Brown commit, had 4 goals for McDonough. Liam Powderly, an uncommitted 2019, 2 goals, 3 assists. Finn Thorne, a 2018, also had a great game. The Eagles scored 7 unanswered goals. One of those players we mentioned on the Under Armour selections, Alex Trippi, held to just a goal and an assist. Definitely a very convincing win for McDonough against a team that, you know, is very good in the same region.
Yeah, they had a rough game against Culver. Not rough. They definitely were competitive with them, but Culver's tough. I was explaining to somebody, it's like seeing the triple option in football. If you're these teams, most of the East Coast teams, they're playing a traditional field style of lacrosse, a lot of open space, a lot of athleticism, and Culver comes in and it's a Canadian box hybrid. You're not, you know, scheduling for that any other team. maybe Hill a little bit. Through the rest of your schedule, so they lose that game. They come back against the IAC champion from 2016 and have a really nice game. They do a great job shutting down Trippi in that contest. You see the goals from the guys you expect to facilitate their offense, and Parr and Powderly. But really, their defense is going to be the key for McDonough this year. The goalie, I believe his name's Ollie. Anderson. I might be getting that wrong, but he's been a nice player for them. Their poles are strong.
Incredibly athletic.
Athletic. Believe they have a short stick defensive midfielder, is pretty good. AJ Farrar. For them in the MIAA, that's going to be, I think, the difference for them is just having such a deep athletic defense, and you see it kind of come to fruition here against a really talented team in Bullis.
The next game we want to discuss on our docket is, this is what has the forwards back in the conversation, Haverford 12, Boys Latin 11.
Yeah, it's an interesting weekend for Boys Latin. I know you were watching the game on Friday. They played Gonzaga, who's sort of had been a down year so far this year, just kind of losing against a lot of the strong out-of-area teams that they play. But they played Boys Latin really tough and came to a 12-11 OT game for the Lakers. They won that one. I want to say that was on a Brandel goal in overtime.
Yeah, Matt Brandel scored not only the game winner, but also the game equalizer within the last minute.
Yeah, so Boys Latin comes off that game, which was a big win for them, and they're going up against a Haverford team that's starting to really find themselves. I want to say it took them a game or two to figure out who the stars are. You kind of saw one or two guys who were stepping up, but now, like in this game, you get a good contest out of Fluke O'Grady with four goals. 2018 committed to Providence. I think it was like seven or eight contributors on the offense across the board for the Fords. Pete Garneau had a goal and two assists. Connor Mosbrook, two goals. And a good day from Parker Hederer in the cage with eight saves. You're going to go toe-to-toe against the Boys Latin team. Even beyond that, though, in the loss, Brandel, who's increasingly becoming one of my favorite kids in his class, had four goals and one assist in that contest. So it's not really about shutting him down. It's about, getting some other guys. One guy who could have three goals, two goals, or one goal. And kind of getting past their goalie, Chris Brandel, who had 10 saves in this contest. So good kind of regional battle between these two teams that helped readjust the top 25.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch the Boys Latin game against Gonzaga and was really impressed with, I'd say, the improvement in athleticism that Matt Brandel displayed. I feel like he reminded me of the evolution that Cole Williams kind of went under when he was at Loyola Blakefield, another Baltimore area school, where, during his sophomore and junior years, you kind of saw a kid who was maybe a little bit uncomfortable with how fast his body was changing, and by the time he had become a senior, he had finally solidified it. He had learned how to play with it, and that's what I saw from Brandel. I was really impressed, and I think he's the kind of guy that they can lean on, not unlike Logan Wisnowskis was for Boys Latin last year. So he looks like their kind of go-to scorer this year.
Yeah, definitely, and when we get into MIA play, that'll come out to fruition, but a lot of good lacrosse the past week or so.
Final game we want to mention before we go into our players of the week, a huge upset in the Philly area, LaSalle beating Malvern Prep 8-6. LaSalle's goalie Mike Klebanoff, an Ohio State commit, had 20 saves. Wow, impressive. Fogo Anthony Giuliani won 11 of 18 faceoffs, and then Brett Baskin, a JHU commit, had four goals and one assist. Definitely a very specialist-minded upset victory, compounded with some great play from their key offensive player.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games where the special teams wins it for you. 20 saves from Klebanoff, 2018, committed to Ohio State. Anthony Giuliani, 18 for 11. You get the possessions, especially against a Malvern team that can truck the rock. A really offensive-minded team. If they don't got the ball, they can't score. And that's kind of what you see play out here with limited possessions and with those possessions turning into saves. LaSalle gets the win. Really, it's interesting. It's a good question of where do these teams go in the Philly area. I think LaSalle is great. Haverford probably has the better strength of schedule so far. So even with the two losses, I put Haverford above them for this week. But it's going to be between those two, three teams when we're looking regionally, who's going to come out of there.
Before we delve into our player of the week, we want to welcome on to the show Lee Roggenberg. He's one of the guys who gives us all the information down in Florida. He's one of the South pollsters. Let's transition into his interview real quick. We welcome on to the show Lee Roggenberg, FloridaLacrosseNews.com writer and also IL expert poll voter down in the South region. How are you doing today, Lee?
Oh, doing great. It's probably another 83 degrees or so here in Boca, a couple of miles from the ocean, and And I've got a lacrosse season that has been wild and fun. What else can I ask for?
That sounds like heaven.
Yeah, Lee, the first question I had for you is, you just mentioned a kind of a wild season, but what's been the theme of the Florida lacrosse high school season so far this year?
Well, you know, I think that the theme is the continuing growth in the depth of the programs that have really gotten serious and have made their way into our top 20 over the year. You know, mostly many of your readers are familiar with the big names like St. Andrews and Lake Highland Prep. And, you know, last year we had St. Thomas Aquinas winning the championship over Ponte Vedra in the final, the Benjamin School, Jupiter School. And that tends to be sort of the big names that the North is more familiar with. But then you look at this year, and in other parts of the state, you have a Bishop Moore in the Orlando area that I think is a real serious threat to knock off Lake Highland in the playoffs if they meet up in the second round. Then you look at you know, a team like Oak Hall in Gainesville, not an area that comes to mind when you think about lacrosse, but you know, another Northern transplant coach who came down and who has built a nice program, has been in my top 10 good chunk of the year this year. Lake Mary outside of Orlando is having a very good year. Over on the Tampa side, although Tampa Jesuit lost in the first round to Plant in their district, which is a loaded district this year. Again, you're starting to see teams like those two and Newsom over there. Barron Collier had a rebound season this year down the southwest of the state. And you're just starting to see more and more some of these programs that maybe 3-4 years ago started to get serious with feeder programs, and now it's sort of come to fruition.
And you mentioned all those teams, but which one do you think, which one in your opinion is the biggest surprise this season?
Ah, interesting question. I would say probably Oak Hall, only because I've never had a chance to see them in person, being 4 hours away from them, and they've yet to make a southern trip. I did get to see Bishop Moore this year for the first time, and they very much surprised me with their all-around play. But I would have to say Oak Hall probably was the biggest surprise, and maybe Tampa Jesuit's resurgence is probably the second.
Lee, player-wise, who would you consider the top star of Florida or the MVP of this season for you guys so far?
I think you've got to go with Clay Welch up in Ponte Vedra. Ponte Vedra is sort of my favorite. Picked him to win it all preseason. He was a returning 50-plus goal scorer from last year. And I think that right now, when you look at, I think he's kind of the star. It's a little different from last year. You know, obviously, those who've sort of followed the freshman year out of in the colleges this year, they obviously know about Jared Bernhardt. We had Louis Jovino graduate, Davis Diamond, Viper Shield, a lot of high-end players that really were star players last year. This year, it's a little bit down from that. You know, Kevin Crowley probably is right up there, too, out of St. Thomas. Terry's son is going to be going over to Hofstra this year. But a lot of the top players in the state this year really are not big names, or they might be long poles. We have a very strong long pole senior class, but I think that you got to put Clay at the top and Kevin right there too.
I mean, you mentioned that, you know, it's a little bit quiet without Jared Bernhardt, but are there any players that have impressed you that you think might have an impact at the next level?
You know, I have kind of found over the years that out of Florida, players that are a little bit below the radar have had some of the best careers. Obviously, we have one up at Syracuse this year in Sergio Salcido, who was a walk-on at Syracuse. A lot of people forget that. And, you know, so we have a tendency sometimes of our bigger names, although Jared obviously has made his impact right away. Sometimes the bigger names take a year or two, and sometimes the kids below the radar are the ones, particularly on the long stick midi and the defensive poles. So if you're going to look at something like that, one kid that I really like, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where he committed, but there's a kid named Brandon Rupp at Oxbridge Academy, long stick, who I really think is on the verge of really being a heck of a player at the college level. And then you kind of look at some of the others. Again, it wasn't a huge year for Division I recruits out of the state as much as, say, last year. So, you know, just it's a tough thing for me to say. I've in the past noted players like a Sam Talco or a Michael Diener, who when they came out of South Florida were not big names per se, but Diener ended up starting for Hofstra, still starts for Hofstra. Talco became quite a face-off specialist at BU right away. And the other thing also to take consider, and it's kind of been a bit of a knock at times with Florida players, is that a lot of them don't last up north, particularly some of the bigger names that went up there, partly because they couldn't handle the weather, or maybe they just couldn't quite handle the cultural change, and then they kind of ended up coming back to what is a very strong Division II conference that we have down here, the Sunshine State Conference, where they can find homes after they've kind of decided to come back to the state. And most of those schools, or a lot of those schools, are in the state university system, so it's also inexpensive for them to go there. So that's kind of what happens. I could make great predictions, but I've been burned in the past with those types of predictions where the kid ended up coming back to Florida after a year. So it's hard to say that.
Lee, one final question for you. You mentioned some of your favorites for the title, but what's your final four predictions going into the state title run here?
Okay, preseason, I was thinking that in the Northeast Ponte Vedra, in the Central Lake Highland Prep, in the sort of the middle Treasure Coast over the West Coast, that it would be Jupiter. And then down south here, I felt that St. Thomas would probably get back there, and then I would have a Jupiter-Ponte Vedra final. From what I've seen out of Lake Highland, I really would be surprised at this point if they got to the Final Four. St. Thomas is going to have the same issue we had last year, where in the first two rounds of the playoffs, you've got Oxford, St. Andrews in all likelihood, and Stoneman Douglas versus St. Thomas in all likelihood. And I got to tell you that right now, those four teams, even though St. Thomas is at the top in the poll, you could throw a blanket over all four of them. Any four of them can win that region. I will go with Ponte Vedra to win it all. As far as their matchup, one of the things that is very dangerous for predicting Jupiter is that they have to play Benjamin in the district final. One of those two teams does not even get to the 32-team bracket. So let's go with I'm going to stick with what I said. I'm going to stick with Jupiter and Ponte Vedra in the final, with Ponte Vedra winning it all.
Very interesting play out. Lee, that's all the time we have for you. We really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us all your insight down into all the lacrosse action that's going on in the Sunshine State.
Well, thank you for having me, and have a great day up there, guys.
Enjoy the weather.
Oh, we do every day.
Thanks, Lee. Tremendous insight from Lee, as always. Jeff, let's delve into the players of the week. Who is your player of the week?
It's got to be Klimanoff out of LaSalle. 20 saves.
A 20 burger.
Good performance from them. And if they could get that, you know, anything resembling that through the year, they're going to be a tough team for any program in the PIAA to compete against. And we're talking about that. We're talking about Garnet Valley. We're talking about Springfield Delco. Anybody who... Radnor, any of those teams that kind of come through that run. Conestoga, someone that we talked to last week as well. That's going to be a tough team to beat in that run to the PIAA championship.
Yeah, and it's definitely a nice bounce back as well after LaSalle got really hounded by the Hill Academy, losing by 10.
Yeah, it's going to be, and anyway, everyone's going to get hounded by the Hill Academy. there's very few teams who can match up. You know, there's a couple matchups you can go even with or win. I think we saw that with Boys Latin, their face-off unit. We're able to get possessions against Hill. IMG has the offense to go toe-to-toe with Hill, but they're always just a little better in each region for them. They have a game. Really, the date to circle on your calendar is going to be April 23rd. They play Culver that day. Culver's going to be fired up for that game. That is a national championship on the line probably for both of those teams. So date to circle on your calendar, April 23rd.
Speaking of games to watch, we've got a lot of games coming up in the next week or so that you should definitely keep an eye on. Starting with today, with the greatest, you know, rivalry on Long Island, Chaminade versus St. Anthony's. That's today. That'll be on MSG Varsity.
Yeah, I've circled this game. You know, this, by the time this podcast goes up and we're going, this game might be over by then. But I wanted to highlight it because this is one of those games that you can watch. Postscript, MSG Varsity. It might be called Varsity 12 or Channel 12 Varsity. And I was playing with the computer with that. But if I know traditionally it's MSG Varsity. They do a great job broadcasting some of the best games on Long Island. They start their season off with the Chaminade St. Anthony's. Once it's over, it'll be there available for you to watch. I encourage you to do so. This weekend they have Chaminade versus Ward Melville. Ward Melville is one of those teams that we're looking at and talking about can make a run starting, you know, relatively soon to challenge in the top 25, followed by Yorktown and Bridgewater Raritan. Bridgewater Raritan's a New Jersey power that usually finds itself in the top 25 towards the end of the season. And then Monday you get the great Smithtown West versus Smithtown East. All these are available online if you're a fan of high school lacrosse. Definitely watch and turn into these.
Also this weekend is the annual PNC Lacrosse Classic. Bullis versus Loyola Blakefield, held at Loyola's Ridley Athletic Complex. That should be a very interesting game. I feel like Loyola is one of those teams that's a little bit underrated in the MIAA, going against one of the top teams in the Mid-Atlantic region. Should be a great contest.
Yeah, and this is also a doubleheader featuring the McDonough women's lacrosse team. I haven't checked out the rankings on iowawomen.com lately, but I gotta assume they're number one. I think they've been number one for years and years at this point, but it's a special treat to see that team play as well. Chris Robinson has done a great job with that program, and you get a doubleheader out of that one. So definitely, that's at Loyola's Ridley Athletic Complex on Saturday after the Loyola game.
Yeah, McDonough playing Our Lady of Good Counsel on Saturday, the first ever women's game in that event, so definitely a great doubleheader to check out. As for us, that's all we really have for you on this week's edition of the IL Preps podcast. We're really excited that, you know, games are really starting to play out, and we're seeing movement in the top 25 because, you know, we don't like being wrong, but we do like seeing results.
Definitely. Make sure to follow all our news, rankings, and game highlights at ilpreps.com.
Everybody, thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Inside the Cross Podcast.